Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today is my wife, Rebecca Fleming. And today is her birthday, the day that I'm recording this. So happy birthday to my wonderful wife. But why should you think about Christmas in the summer? We just had an episode last week about preparing for the summer. And now I'm going to go and tell you to prepare for Christmas. I know it seems a bit crazy, but it is so helpful. Christmas comes at the same time every single year, but it always manages to break people's budgets. So how can sinking funds help or buckets help with Christmas? Do sinking funds last? What's the purpose of them? We're going to cover a lot of really helpful information when it comes to planning for Christmas or any regular annual expense. We even share some tips on how to save money on gas for your travel. But the money talking points for today's episode are, what would your Christmas be like if you started saving now? And what are other ways you can use a sinking fund or buckets to save for future expenses? So keep those in mind and then go out and have a money talk after today's episode. But with all that in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Welcome to today's interview. I have my amazing wife on this episode again. She's been a guest multiple times, but that's just because I love having her on my podcast. So any excuse I get really to say, hey, can you come be on this episode with me and talk about this fun topic? Then here we are. Here we are with Rebecca on. Rebecca, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself for those who maybe haven't met you yet?
Sure. My name is Rebecca. I'm married to Skylar. We've been married coming up on 3 years now. I'm in PA school to become a physician assistant, and good thing for Skylar knowing a lot about money because that's an expensive thing to do. So happy to be here.
Yeah, PA school is expensive. We're just about to get to that point where we got to start paying some tuition and things like that. And it's something you got to consider ahead of time. So this isn't going to be an episode about college, though. This is going to be an episode all about Christmas. Why are we talking about Christmas when it's June, Rebecca?
Christmas is always coming. Happens every year and it always sneaks up on us.
Yes, Christmas happens the same time every year, yet somehow it's always so surprising for everybody where it just destroys your budget, destroys the money you're making, destroys your savings goals. And last week's episode was about preparing for summer and preparing our wallets for summer. Well, we can commonly find ourselves having issues with our spending in the summer months, but then you take 2 or 3 months off where you're maybe hitting your savings goals, and then boom, here comes Christmas, same time every year. So it's kind of like the 6 month rinse and repeat where you have summer impacting your budget, and then you suddenly have Christmas impacting your budget. So we're going to talk about how you can prepare for Christmas and how you can get ready for Christmas. Let's dive right into it. Why should we be thinking about Christmas in the summer? Like you said, it's the same time every year, but what are some other things we should think about?
I mean, it's good to make sure you're saving for the gifts that you want to buy, which, I mean, a lot of people don't plan that far in advance to know what they want to get, and that's okay, but it is good to keep in mind that you're going to be spending more money around Christmas time, and so it's something that you can save for in advance, and that's something that we have found helpful as we save throughout the year intentionally for Christmas. Then when Christmas comes, it's not this huge hit on our savings or on our spending because we've prepared for it. So now is a great time to start preparing, even though you don't want to think about the intricate details of the gifts that you need to buy or the things you need to purchase for Christmas. You can start saving money intentionally for Christmas now, and it will ease that burden later.
Yeah. And with saving now for Christmas, it makes it a whole lot easier to hit that goal. If you say, oh, last year we spent $600 on Christmas, this year, we're probably going to do the same, maybe a little more. There's a couple more kids in the family that are grown up or something like that. You can set that number now, and it's a whole lot easier to hit that savings goal now when you're starting 6-8 months ahead of time than it is when you're 1 or 2 months out of Christmas, isn't it, Rebecca?
Yeah, for sure.
Another thing in the summer when it comes to thinking about Christmas, I would say is, are you still paying off the debt from last Christmas on your credit cards? And that's possibly like a good, like, Kickstarter to motivate you to start saving for next Christmas and make sure, obviously, pay off your credit cards, of course. But if you're in a position where you're still paying debt off from your credit cards from last Christmas or multiple Christmases ago, that's probably a good time to look at your Christmas spending strategy and how you're saving for that. And then, of course, planning ahead using a sinking fund. Some people might call them buckets. We call them sinking funds. You could call them all sorts of things. Rebecca, do you want to elaborate maybe what is a sinking fund?
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to the podcast before, we've talked about sinking funds a lot. But to give you a base knowledge of what a sinking fund is, it's a way that you can save money and carry that money over from month to month. So for an example, since we're talking about Christmas, let's take Christmas for example. Like Skylar said, let's pretend you spent $600 last year on Christmas. So you can split that cost up over the next 12 months and save that much money each month towards Christmas specifically. And that money is then like accumulating. So when you get to the time you need to spend it, you have it already. Or like another example that's a little less specific on amounts, we like to use sinking funds for our fast food budget. So every month we'll budget some money towards fast food, and let's pretend we budget $50, but only spent $30. Now we have an additional $20 left in our sinking fund that carries over into the next month. Then let's pretend the next month we overspend our budget, but because we had that sinking fund, we have that buffer to kind of cover our overspending from our fast food budget that month. So it's a nice way that you can have goal-oriented saving as well as give yourself a buffer in areas that you might accidentally overspend. And so we really like to use them for goals and to split up annual subscriptions or costs, and in this case, Christmas gifts and Christmas shopping, because then it's less stressful when Christmas comes around because we've been saving for it all year.
Well, shoot, we should just call you the sinking fund expert. You know everything there is to know about them right there. That was a great summary.
I sure do.
Yeah, you do, which is awesome. And we probably go a little bit overkill, wouldn't you say, with sinking funds? We use them for every category in our budget.
We use them a lot, and you don't have to. You can definitely have like more specific categories or goals in which you use your sinking funds for. We just like to use them for pretty much everything, but you don't have to. So.
Yeah, we just keep them naturally going within our spreadsheet. It's just something that I've built into our spreadsheet. And if you want help with that, of course, I'd be happy to offer that. But you don't have to have a sinking fund for every category. You can identify those important ones like gift giving or house repairs, as we mentioned in last week's episode, or summer vacation or fast food, like Rebecca was saying. Like maybe you only want to go out to eat every few months, but when you go out to eat, you want to go somewhere nice. So spread that cost out over a few months. And then with us, like if you're using sinking funds a lot and they're getting complex and things like that, you can certainly look to simplify it. Maybe say, okay, our sinking fund balance over this amount needs to be invested. That way you're not holding onto too much cash. There's a lot of weeds you can get into in that sort of conversation, but we won't dive too deep into that. But we've talked about sinking funds a lot in the past. And like we just said, they can get kind of complex if you use them in a lot of ways, but they can be pretty simple. Do you still like the sinking fund, Rebecca? Do you think it's worth it at this point?
Yeah, I really like the sinking fund because then if there are times that we overspend, I'm less stressed because the sinking fund can help take the hit. And I also really like spreading out our financial goals over each month so that it's not, oh crap, I need to spend hundreds of dollars that I wasn't saving for. Instead, it's just, oh yeah, every month we budget $30 towards this category. And it definitely removes the stress and creates that buffer. So I really like using sinking funds. I'll go on and on about it. So I'll stop there. But yeah, I like them.
We could both ramble about sinking funds. I know that. But I'm going to paint you a picture here, Rebecca. And I think this is one that maybe a lot of our listeners can find themselves in, and maybe one way or another with some slight adjustments. But let's say it's October 31st. You're having a good time on Halloween. You just spent a bunch of money on candy for your neighborhood. Trick-or-treating, and you're figuring that out. You just spent a bunch of money, but it was just candy, so it wasn't that expensive. But you haven't even considered Christmas. Thanksgiving is now coming up, and you helped pay for quite a bit of the dinner, and that was pretty expensive. And now it's time. It's Black Friday. It's the Cyber Monday, that week of deals or whatever, and it's time to go Christmas shopping. But where is that money going to come from? You just spent it on Halloween candy. You just spent it on Thanksgiving decorations and Thanksgiving festivities and food and things like that. What do you think Christmas and gift giving would feel like if we didn't have a sinking fund?
Definitely more stressful. I mean, honestly, gift giving is stressful to me anyways, because I think gift giving is not my love language. If anyone's heard of the love languages, it's not my strong suit. Like, I love if I can find a really nice gift for somebody, but it's stressful to know what to get people and also to know those gift expectations as well. Because like when I grew up, expectations for gifts were low, but then there's different friends and different family members that sometimes those gift expectations are different. And so not having saved is stressful, but I also think it's important to establish those expectations with those that you are involving in gift giving at Christmas on what is a reasonable budget, so that one person's not spending hundreds of dollars on you while you've only budgeted 30 or something like that. So establishing those expectations removes the stress, as well as saving with sinking funds, because then you are more prepared. And if somebody needs a little extra and the other person doesn't need as much, you're able to compensate for that and find the right balance. And if it weren't for saving with our sinking funds, Christmas would add even more stress than it already does a lot of the times for more people than just myself.
Yeah, I think this episode, honestly, with our prepping for summer episode last week with Chris, and then this episode about prepping for Christmas and winter with Rebecca, honestly, are really good follow-ups to each other. Do you think that sinking funds allow you to spend money guilt a little bit less, like, or a little bit more guilt-free? Like you just said, if we didn't have them, it would make it even more stressful. So does having them reduce that stress?
Oh yeah, definitely. It allows me to know how much I've been preparing to spend so that I'm not feeling guilty, because I don't like spending large amounts of money. Even if I'm like anticipating it, it's hard to spend hundreds of dollars. But when you're preparing each month and saving each month, then you know that money has been set aside for that specific purpose. So I have less guilt spending the money because we have been preparing for that. So I would definitely say saving has removed a lot of the guilt and has also helped me to have a more firm expectation on how much I'm going to spend. Because I think that's also something that happens around Christmas, is that people get carried away. They like see another cute thing or another cool thing that so-and-so would like. And it just starts to snowball almost, where you're spending more and more money. But as we've saved and have set the expectation throughout the year on how much we're intending to spend, I am able to stay within those limitations and not have as much guilt on spending that money because I have prepared for it.
Perfect. That was a very, very great summary of like how Christmas is benefited by saving throughout the year and how sinking funds can benefit. Are you okay if maybe we just quickly discuss some other ways that sinking funds can benefit, maybe some other categories and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. Which ones do you have in mind?
Well, let's just go through a few here, and we'll just keep this quick and short of maybe just some ways that the audience can use a sinking fund to benefit them. But what do you think? How would a sinking fund maybe benefit you with insurance?
Yeah, so insurance, you know, you have to pay it every single year. The price can vary a little bit year to year, but it's always, and I would group insurance with even car registration. It's something that comes up every year, but for some reason, we're always surprised by it. And it's like a really big hit. So with our sinking funds, we like to take what we previously spent on registration or insurance, break it up over 12 months. And then we usually will over budget a little bit on it. So let's pretend it's like, oh, we need to save $20 a month. We might save $25, because then that way, if prices do go up, we have a little buffer in our sinking fund. And if they don't, we can carry that over to next time and not have to save as much month to month because we have that buffer. So we like to use it for insurance and registration to break down those costs, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it for how we use insurance, because I don't know, Rebecca, have you ever noticed how things are cheaper when you pay for them in 6 month or 1 year in plans instead of monthly?
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's something you look at a lot more. But that is true. Often, if you are willing to pay out in full, you can get a discount compared to if you paid month to month. And so that is definitely beneficial for us
Insurance. Yeah, it's a big thing with insurance. You get like $5 extra a month or something like that. There's always some sort of service charge and things like that that they're trying to throw on there. And with that, like things like Disney Plus or Hulu or your Canva subscription or those sort of subscriptions all offer cheaper plans when you pay for them yearly. It's a pricing model that everything is switched to because it leads to more people signing up. And that's another way you can use your sinking fund for things like your subscription. So Rebecca and I, we take our cost of Disney Plus every year and we just divide it by 12. And then if it does go up, we just figure out that number and that new number we're going to need to save each month. And then we just put it in that category. And this will require you on the first month to kind of cash flow it and pay it out of pocket. That is one thing that we've noticed is like when you start a new subscription, we're considering Mint Mobile here in the future. And since we're considering it far enough out right now, we could start a sinking fund for it and save for it so that when we switch, we have that full payment because Mint Mobile requires you to pay in like 3 or 6 month intervals to get it cheaper. So you could save up for that now and then pay it, or you have to figure out where the money is going to come from all at once. Thankfully, most of these things are fairly cheap, but things like insurance and stuff like that could be several hundred dollars. So you need to be planning ahead. And I think that's really the big thing with sinking funds is just making sure that you're planning ahead. Rebecca, do you have any like last words about sinking funds, buckets, Christmas, gift giving, anything that we've talked about today?
Well, yeah, actually, I wanted to give another example of a sinking fund because we've talked a lot about breaking up annual expenses over month to month. But like I mentioned earlier, too, with the fast food, you can just have some carryover that can help you as a buffer or reduce expenses later. And one that we've seen a lot of benefit from lately is our gas sinking fund, as we've been able to budget and we don't spend our whole budget and that money then carries over month to month. Now we can go on our trip. We're going to Zion National Park this week, and that's going to be a lot more gas money to drive all the way down there and back. But we didn't even have to budget extra for gas, even though we're doing something that will definitely have more gas expenses because our sinking fund has carried over month to month and we've accumulated this additional money. And so even like things that you aren't planning for, like Christmas or insurance and things, the sinking funds can be really beneficial for to reduce your costs of unplanned expenses or even planned expenses, just so you don't have to worry about them in the future. So sinking funds are great. If you want more info, definitely reach out to Skylar. They can sound complicated at first and a little overwhelming, but once you start getting a hang of them, they have really benefited us in our budgeting.
Yeah. Another place that it's been super helpful for us is our utility bills, because we've had a longer, colder winter than normal. So our gas bill stayed higher longer than normal, and we didn't really get that long spring where our bills were low. So we were able to use the sinking fund that we had over budgeted for our bills to help weather that a little bit. And realistically, these are just savings accounts with a purpose. These are just money that you're putting in to a savings account, and then you're just earmarking it for a specific purpose. There's a lot of ways you can get specific with this and down to the nitty gritty, but it could just be something as simple as having a utility sinking fund, a vacation bucket, a Christmas budget, and all those sort of things. It can be really cool, and it can really like unlock another level to your budgeting and to your savings. So thank you, Rebecca, for joining us. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, or are we good to go on sinking funds?
Just Christmas is coming, so start saving.
Yes. Be ready, everybody. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Thank you for listening to today's interview with Rebecca. Thank you to my wonderful wife, Rebecca, for coming on today's episode. She's been on episodes in the past, and I'm sure she's going to be on episodes in the future. I'm extremely grateful for her support in producing this podcast, both as a guest and as just a support as my wonderful wife. But how do you start a money conversation? Especially when you're in a marriage or a relationship. That's what you have to look forward to on next week's episode. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. But if you found any value in today's episode or today's podcast or any podcast previously, please share with a friend. Then make sure to go out and have a money talk. And the podcast is growing a ton, but I want to keep it growing so we can continue to have a money talk with more and more people. But thank you for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.